As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to turn towards the scriptures here from the Gospel of Mark. We're in the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Before I read the scriptures for today, let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Easter and for your resurrection, for the hope that it brings for our life, and for the new beginnings and newness that we experience this day. God, we thank you for this community of faith, for each person joined today, for the hope that we find that we are not on this journey by ourselves, but that you surround us with people who walk with us on a daily basis. God, I ask that you speak through me and inspire me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So Mark 16, 1 through 8. Says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him, Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, who will roll the stone away? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking in this series about how God moves to meet the people. That there's nowhere that God won't go and can't go to redeem his children. We talked about how God moved into the desert, and God moved over the fence, and God moved down the road, and God moved into the streets, and God moved past all obstacles. Well, this morning we read about the ultimate obstacle that God defeated, and that was that God defeated death with Jesus Christ in order to redeem his people with a future of salvation and eternal life. God moves out of the tomb in the person of Jesus for the redemption of the world. In this morning's scripture from the Gospel of Mark, we see Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome come a long way from the small, sleepy Galilean fishing village of Magdala. They followed their deliverer on the long, dusty treks through the Judean hills. They followed their deliverer on the all the way to Jerusalem and Golgotha. And Jesus gave them a reason to live and a future, a dream, a hope. They thought they knew what it meant, but then they heard and saw Jesus crucified and placed in a tomb. And I'm sure at this point they were wondering and doubting and living in fear. This Jesus who touched their lives was now dead and buried. And a large stone had been placed in front of the tomb between them and their Savior. And so as they were traveling, going to the tomb where Jesus was laid, they were asking themselves, well, who of us is going to roll that stone away from the entrance? This question asked by Mary Magdalene was both literal and metaphorical, that the stone placed in front of Jesus' tomb represented not only the closure of the tomb, but also a sense of defeat in their life, in their hearts. I wonder how often we go through something, a period in time, a season in which we feel like there's this big boulder, this heavy stone blocking our sense of happiness and joy and hope and peace. I wonder how often we sometimes look at our lives and feel as though it's our job that we're trying to figure out how we can work hard enough or try hard enough to push the stone or move the stone out of the way that we might experience wholeness once again. Mary and Salome made it to the tomb while it was still dark. But get this. When they arrived, they noticed that the very large, heavy stone that had been placed in front of the tomb was rolled to the side. The task was already complete. The question they had been asking on the road was already answered. It was something that God had already done for them. And it wasn't just the stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb that was removed. It was also the stone that blocked them the freedom of their human hearts and the hope that they had. And it's something that they or we cannot ever do on our own. But it's something that God did and does for us to bring us to Him. So as we think about overcoming things and moving beyond the challenges and the sin of our life, when we think about salvation, it's always something that God did for us through His life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we can't push hard enough, we can't try hard enough to overcome, to move the stone by ourselves. It doesn't come how much knowledge we have or how perfect we try to be. We can't move the stone on our own. It's something that through Christ that we're able to accomplish. Something that Christ did and does for us. So instead of the tomb sealed shut, it was wide open. The darkness was overcome by light. Their eyes that were focused on the challenge that was going to be set before them became eyes to see the newness and the hope. Instead of guards guarding the tomb, they met angels. Instead of His body, they found grave clothes. Instead of a chapter closing in their lives, a new and wonderful reality opened. And the angel told them, "He's not here. He has risen." And through Jesus' resurrection, we know that death is not the end of the story. You see, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." As we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. And in this crucifixion and resurrection story, it's the shortest amount of detail or the least amount of detail we see on this story. We see the angel meet the women. We see them tell him that he's risen. And then the women were go tell others about Jesus, but they left trembling and afraid. They said nothing to no one. And that's it. They were terrified. And I'm sure it was a mystifying experience for the women as they struggled to believe that it's true. And after all, if it is true, then where is Jesus? I wonder if that's a question that sometimes we ask today as we look around. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Maybe because of our expectations or maybe assumptions or maybe the way we see things going on, we continue to ask that question. But friends, the good news of the gospel this morning is that even if Christ doesn't appear the way that we think or that Christ is always present, Christ has risen, Christ is alive and giving new life, Christ is constantly at work helping us, guiding us, giving us hope in a hopeless place. And so, as we live our life beyond today, and as we continue to live to tomorrow and the next day, and knowing that because of Christ, we can live we can have hope. We have to live as people who share that, who live that out. A people who live as ones who have gratitude. You see, I think the world needs to see the difference that this day makes in our life. Does it affect how we live? Does it affect our response to events that happen? What difference does it make? Do people see and experience the resurrection in you and I today? The way in which we have empathy for others, the way we walk with people, the way we know that we're all interconnected with each other on this journey, the way that we don't just think that heaven is some far-off place, but that we work to bring heaven to earth, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, that we trust that light is extinguishing the darkness, that life is replacing death, that Good Friday wasn't the end of the story, but Sunday was coming. Resurrection is here. Now, friends, we will continue to face challenge. We continue to face struggles. We continue to have grief. But we know that in our spirits and in our souls, that we might be strengthened through the presence of the risen Christ. That there's no person or event or church or community or world that can't have and experience new life as we trust in today. So every day it's our responsibility as a follower of Christ to believe and to live and to share the dream that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Not just once or twice a year, but Christ gave everything and rose so that we might have redemption every day of our life. Nothing that we can do, nothing that we can push hard enough, but Christ has moved the stone and has risen from the dead. May we show that light to the world. May we show the beauty and the goodness that we experience through Jesus. May we have an attitude of gratitude in the way that we act and the way we treat one another. May you always know that a new morning has broke. God doesn't give up on you. God will never give up on me. And we're always invited to start anew. So this day we celebrate that Christ has risen. Now you'll say, Christ has risen indeed. Ready? Let's say this. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Let's do it again. Christ is risen. One more time, Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ways in which you're at work in our life, not only today on this beautiful Easter morning, but tomorrow as well. May we experience your hope in the resurrection, and may it transform our life in the ways in which we live, talk, and act. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.